What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny Screencast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Oh, you know what I mean?
The sad boy himself, Vera Courtney.
This is the way.
This is the way. And Chastity Vicencio from GameSpot Universe.
The way. What's up, y'all? Happy
What's the energy we're bringing today, guys? Come on, man. We just watched an amazing episode of Mandalorian. Yes, we're going to talk about that in the latter half. The latter half of this show, because this is Kinda Funny Screencast, where each and every week we come together to talk about all of the movie, entertainment, TV news that you need to know. And then at the end of the episode, we review the latest episode of Disney Plus's The Mandalorian. I want to let you know that you can get this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or you can watch it later at your leisure at youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen to it, we're a podcast. Search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast. It will be right there for you to leave your 5-star reviews, your 2-thumbs-up reviews, and no other type of reviews.
Get out of here. You got another opinion. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you want to support us financially, we would very much appreciate that, because you can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Jeremy the Zook Zuccarello did, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Andrew Feistner, and the Simply Sassy crew. Shout out to all of you for helping make this and all of our other morning shows happen here at Kinda Funny. A little housekeeping for you. You can go to kindoffunny.com/store to check out all of our latest merch. We just had the PS I Love You bomber jackets go up, the Urban Hiking shirts go up. There's a bunch of sales going on. It's a good time to check out kindoffunny.com/store. But let's get right into the news. Story number one is something that we've been waiting for quite a long time. WandaVision. The first MCU Disney Plus TV show, the first entry into the MCU since Spider-Man Far From Home way back July last year, is coming. January 15th. I know, right? January 15th. We will have went the entirety of 2020 without a single new MCU entry. Obviously, that sucks. Obviously, there's so much shit in the world that is horrible. But
it's at just least wild to
we
think
got
about.
Endgame.
Yeah,
it's wild it's to think about. Like, this is the first year in probably
since 2009.
Wow. We haven't gotten an MCU movie.
It's funny because I feel like a bunch of people were complaining, insane. Like, "Oh, there's so many of them coming out." Well, there you go. Now we're getting a break. I guess.
Yeah, and it was a break at the perfect
and
time.
What a horrible year it's been. Can we blame it only on this? No, but like partially, you know.
At least Endgame came out. Imagine if Endgame was to come out in 2020 and how heartbreaking that would be that we didn't get to see it. So we're fine. This is the perfect time for it. It's okay.
Yeah, because like we got Endgame and then we got Far From Home, which was just that nice little epilogue to the entire Infinity Saga. And then we just had this break that was forced. But obviously not the plan. Black Widow was supposed to come out just months after that. Or not months. I guess it was quite a bit of months over originally in May of the next year. But then there was just going to be this steady kind of cadence of all the MCU stuff. But we've had this forced break, and now we know that WandaVision's coming. We all kind of expected it 2020, even regardless of these delays, because they straight up said it's coming 2020. But they lied.
I thought that was a stretch. Yeah, they put that in the promo, and it's like some point in 2020. Like, they're really trying to get this done, but... You know, I mean, it's hard to do post-production at
totally and even production. This alongside a lot of the other shows got delayed shooting wise because of a lot of the COVID stuff. I think WandaVision was further along and it had a lot more of it was shot in a studio that they can kind of control, whereas we know Falcon and Winter Soldier was a lot of that was either in Prague or Atlanta. So there's some issues there, but what's interesting to me about this is that like there the cover of Entertainment Weekly this week was WandaVision. And even in that, they were saying it's 2020. So it's like, man, this must have been a game time decision. Because now this is date. Now, like, I actually feel pretty firm about this. And there's a lot of reasons for that we'll get into in a second. But I just want to say I'm kind of happy January 15th. Like, I would have taken it this year for sure. But I like that this gives us kind of the holidays and a nice reset point next year to have something to look forward to, have Mandalorian kind of ride us out for the rest of this year and then come in hard next year.
I feel like they were always going to put it right after The Mandalorian anyway. So if it did come in 2020, I was expecting it the week after The Mandalorian, which would have been hard to cover. So I'm very pleased that it's coming out in January so we can all take our like Christmas breaks. But yeah, I am not surprised that it's coming out in January. But I think it will. I think they're not going to push it anymore. I think this is it.
Yeah, the fact that they've given like an exact date at this point. Like I was always wary of actual 2020 because like that's all they said was 2020. And yeah, when we were coming down to the wire, like I was even thinking about this like a week or two ago. I was like, this is probably not coming out until like February. I'm glad it's closer, but yeah.
So remember, this was actually supposed to be the second, or I guess technically third thing we got from MCU in 2020, because originally it was going to be Black Widow and then Falcon and Winter Soldier and then WandaVision, with Loki following suit after that. So a lot of the evidence and kind of understanding people have is that the reason, not just production-wise, that WandaVision is coming out first is they can't have Falcon and Winter Soldier come out until after Black Widow, because there's going to be some type of story beats that are important to be set up in that order. So that's pretty interesting.
Did we ever get dates on the anthology Elseworlds?
What if? No. Okay. But yeah, we've always known that to be later after these.
Yeah, that was going to be like further down the line. Yeah.
So summer 2021 has – that one's one of the few shows to technically not get delayed so far.
Right.
From when people expected it to come. But I found a tweet. With WandaVision now set to premiere in January 2021, there are now 8 MCU movies and shows scheduled to release that year.
Jesus Christ.
So we got WandaVision, which the January 15th, 2021 set. Then Falcon and Winter Soldier. They're in post-production now. Don't know a release date. Loki, still filming, but – there was a report this morning saying that they only have about 2 weeks left of filming and it's going really well. Black Widow, set right now for May 7th, 2021. Then What If, summer 2021, that is still in production, but since it's animation, that's kind of a bit more probable to be able to actually happen given the corona situation. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, set for July 9th, 2021. That is in post-production. It wrapped filming 2 weeks ago in San Francisco. Not a single case of corona in the entire shoot.
Good for them.
Yep. Nice. Eternals, set for November 5th, 2021. That is also in post-production. That was supposed to have come out last week.
Whoa, that's wild.
Yeah. Parallel universe.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of parallel universes, Spider-Man 3, December 17th, 2021. They are still filming that. Supposedly filming is going very well so far. So we'll see. Obviously, a lot of this has to do with theaters and will they be open and what that looks like. But
they just need to give in, Tim. They just need to give in to the digital era.
Don't say that. Like, I still want to go to theaters. Like, I would like to experience these movies in theaters when possible. You know what I mean? Like, there's the magic to it that I miss.
The thing is, though, is like them holding these releases until theaters can come back in maybe 6 months, maybe a year, like that's not going to help theaters either way. Like theaters are going to be dying out because of the COVID crisis. And them holding their movies for theatrical releases is not going to help that.
Now here's the
honestly,
thing.
Like,
here's
a Black Widow movie is so overdue that they should just put it on digital at this point. Like it's been.
I'll pay the 30 extra bucks.
No, I know. Yeah,
Disney
it's true.
Plus,
and we would all, I think we're all like down to do it.
The bigger thing, Kevin, obviously I'm with you with Team Theater till I die, but Marvel specifically are in a very interesting spot where they can't keep releasing their shows until they release some of the movies.
Right.
So that's where we kind of get held up, where it's not just them holding off for the true theatrical experience. They're holding off on their streaming service, which is the only thing kind of keeping them really afloat financially right now. Very interesting follow-up story here. To continue this conversation, Disney had their Q4 earnings call 2 days ago. In reporting a Q4 loss of $710 million, 2020 marked the first annual loss for Disney in more than 40 years. Consecutive quarterly losses brought on by the pandemic marked the first time Disney reported a quarterly loss since 2001. But CEO Bob Chapek also revealed there are now 73.7 million Disney Plus subscribers. An increase of over 16 million versus Q3. So Disney Plus still booming, super rising, and still getting new subscribers. A lot of people have been being like, oh, they're all there from the beginning, but that's not the case. That's a pretty significant increase.
So I think that the it makes a lot of sense for us to get these movies on, because like right now, what Disney's hemorrhaging money with movie theaters, right? Like they're not releasing their big movies, and Disneyland and stuff is closed down. So you have to imagine it makes a lot of sense for them to put these premium things that people want, that people will sign up for. And it's also people of like all ages are interested in these movies. And if they release the movies, they can release the shows, giving Disney Plus that extra like big thing of like, maybe it gives people an excuse to have it for the next year and a half, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Kev, sounds like that's exactly what's going to happen. A lot of interesting stuff here. After Disney declined to offer Real Conversation on its Grand Mulan PVOD experiment when it decided against charging a premium price for the upcoming Pixar movie Soul, which is now releasing on Christmas Day, it raised the question, was the digitally released Mulan a flop? The answer, according to Disney CEO Bob Chapek, is definitely not. In fact, Mulan was so successful that the studio is planning to use the release strategy as a model for future movies, the chief executive said during the company's Q4 earnings call Thursday. The film was available only to paid Disney Plus subscribers who paid an extra $30 for the film. However, Chapek revealed that controversy surrounding the live-action remake had a negative impact on its performance that was very clear when that stuff came to be after the fact of release.
I think I said exactly this, I think, the last time we talked about Mulan. It's like... It's not that they released it digitally that hurt it. It was the bullshit around that movie that hurt it.
So it sounds like it didn't hurt it enough because, quote, we saw enough very positive results before that controversy started to know that we've got something here in terms of the premiere access strategy. What we've learned with Mulan is there's going to be a role for it strategically within our portfolio of offerings. Again, we're going to talk more about that at the investor conference December 10th. So December 10th, expect to hear what we're getting next from this premier access thing. And let me tell you guys, with we know Soul's Black coming Widow. Christmas, yeah. What's left? Black Widow and Raya the Last Dragon.
Yeah.
Is Soul being handled the same way as Mulan? Like, or do we have to pay extra for
that? No. That's what they're saying.
In a year where every one of Disney's quarterly earning calls has offered huge news, the Q4 call was unusually quiet as the company plans for its December 10th Investor Day, which will offer a deep dive into the company's ever-important streaming strategy. Chapek suggested this decision to make Soul available on Disney Plus for no additional charge on December 25th was not due to the performance of Mulan, but rather a way to add value to the Disney Plus library. Quote, we thought it was a really nice gesture to our subscribers to take Soul during the holiday period and provide that as a part of the service. But stay tuned to December 10th for more on Premier Access. They're building a narrative here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but I wonder if that has more to do with the performance of, what was the last break? Onward. Like, I wonder if Onward didn't show a giant push because it was available basically for free right out of the get-go, maybe after a month after release, right?
Like a month.
Yeah.
It was a month later.
So just one of those things, like, I wonder if Pixar's movies aren't, like, they don't have that massive pull, maybe. Because, you know what I mean? Like, they're great movies, but they got to motivate the right audience to get going. And I think it's more of, like, word of mouth once it's there. And that's why throwing it on Disney Plus right away sounds, you know, makes a lot of sense.
Maybe it was an already established series.
Right. Yeah, something that's actually,
but since this is new and I feel like not a lot of people would throw $30 at something that they're not sure familiar about or with. Have never heard of. Yeah.
But so what do you guys think? What does this mean? Like, they have now reiterated a couple times in this that December 10th, stay tuned for more premiere access information. Like, that, there's no way they come out and just say, oh yeah, we're going to do more. Like, there has to be a statement, right?
Black Widow, I think.
Yeah, I think Black Widow will be announced for digital.
I think that'll probably be like February or March. I think we get, well, I don't even know if this would be right for investor meeting, but at the same time, like, wait, there's no D23 coming around anytime soon, right?
Right.
So like, these investor meeting, this just kind of, just so you know, this is the same type of investor meeting where they announced Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk and Moon Knight. So this is a major, this is kind of, it's a web-based investor meeting. It's a public-facing
thing. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be really cool if we get another big event where, like, hey, these are all the shows that we have and all the movies and these are dates. And we get two movies that are coming out. That would be really, really cool. And then, you know, in six months, they reassess and see, like, where the world's at and if they want to keep doing this and, like, how the numbers are. and put out more movies this way. It'd be wild.
It would be wild. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think Black Widow is... Right now, for me, it's 50%. I just want it, and 50%, like, it is the only thing that makes sense for how they're talking right here.
And, like, that would allow them. What else do they have in their lineup right now where they can be like
Raya?
Wait, yeah, sorry.
Which is the first movie coming out theatrically. Technically, that date is earlier than Black Widow at this point.
Okay.
Also, Raya had to deal with a recasting of their main character with Kelly Marie Tran coming in to do that. So that's a lot more work on the
I didn't realize that was recast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Recast is Steel, right? Man. Yeah. Manny from Degrassi. Never forget. I never will. But I can imagine this kind of being the case where they come out, they announce Black Widow's coming as a premiere access thing with some date, because then that would allow them to do WandaVision, Black Widow, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is awesome.
Really crazy.
I really want to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier.
You don't think that they announced that Black Widow and the first Raya. Both of those are coming out, and then actual dates that they're gonna that are built around that for the Marvel series.
I don't think they can put dates on Marvel. I don't think you can put dates on stuff at this point. Like, any date is
the Marvel series is Disney Plus, so like
But even those where we're at right now, they're not done. You know what I mean? WandaVision is the only one that they're like, we feel confident in. I think Falcon and Winter Soldier will be close enough, and Loki will be close enough. I don't think that within a month, by December 10th, they're ready.
Like they tried with WandaVision, they could maybe attach a month to the release of Falcon and Winter Soldier and then change it again if they want, but they can't put a date on it yet.
And I also don't think they need to, because I think that we know that it's coming, and us as insiders know that Falcon and Winter Soldier has to happen after Black Widow. So it's kind of like they can just focus on WandaVision and Black Widow and then bring the hype for Falcon.
But can you imagine how much excitement there will be for Disney Plus? Which, like, I feel like it came out, there was some excitement, then it died down, and I feel like it's been really quiet with the exception of Mandalorian for us talking about it.
Hamilton.
Yeah, and Hamilton. You're right, right. And it's just one of those things that, like, I feel like they need to come in and be like, hey, we aren't going to just be doing two releases a year. There is more stuff happening. And here's the lineup for it of things that, like, you will get with the Disney Plus, or, you know, just with the base thing. And also, these movies will be available for a premium cost in these dates. I feel like that's what we need. Tentpole, like, events. And I think that we need soon and just in the next 3 months that they can set stuff up to be like, this is what it looks like. We'll do another meeting at the end of this quarter, that'd be great. But
set a cadence to it. I kind of agree with you, Kevin, on, like, they probably looked at this year and realized of, like, oh yeah, the only time people talked about this platform, which is like kind of our big moneymaker with COVID right now, was Hamilton and now Mandalorian. And so, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up getting Black Widow, hopefully sooner than expected, and like the shows and stuff.
God, that's so cool.
So they can be a part of that conversation, because, yeah, like, I've barely touched Disney Plus this year, for sure.
But, I mean, you guys can say that, but the numbers.
That's the thing. Themselves. Yeah, they have the numbers.
No one
that's
talking true. About it. Cool, they're paying for it. They're signing up. So, anyway, you know what people aren't signing up and paying for? HBO Max. So, meanwhile, in DC land, there's some other stories here. So, 6 weeks before Wonder Woman 1984 is scheduled to open in theaters on Christmas, Warner Brothers executives are considering whether to push the highly anticipated superhero sequel to the summer of 2021 or to keep the movie at its December 25th theatrical debut and then put it on HBO Max streaming service in early January. According to sources with knowledge of the plans, this would cause strife with theaters and partnerships, but that is what they're currently weighing. A cursory theatrical release would still support exhibitors on the knife's edge of collapse while also boosting subscriber growth for HBO Max. Wonder Woman was supposed to be a billion-dollar grossing global sensation. Any theatrical release next month would pale in comparison, a lesson the studio already learned the hard way with Tenet. With news that a COVID vaccine could be ready to disseminate through the first half of 2021, Warner Brothers brass are still considering pushing it back to a summer release date, possibly in June, which would bump a New Line Cinema horror title, or July, which would bump the new Space Jam movie with LeBron James. It's interesting. You know, and I think that the bit that they're talking about the balance of keeping the theaters happy, keeping the theaters afloat, but also getting the benefit and not losing out on a shit ton of money.
Mm.
Where do they go?
Yeah, that's a tough decision.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. I mean, I feel like it makes the most sense to wait, but at the same time, like, these people are like, you know, there's a lot of money not coming in when it's supposed to. And $1 billion is a big number. It's crazy. HBO Max is probably my favorite streaming service right now. Like, it's the one I'm enjoying the most, and I find myself going to and finding different stuff all the time.
Yeah, there was a whole article that I did pull a lot of the stats from this, but essentially, like, they are struggling right now to see the type of growth that are seen on all the other major streaming platforms. It's not that they're failing. I think that they're going to be fine for
a
while.
Okay. Okay.
It's just the Lovecraft Country, such a good show. They've been making good stuff. I'm all about that. And they also like recirculate movies in a cool way. Yeah, I don't know. This is another one where it's like, it'd be cool to like watch this movie.
Yeah,
like, totally. I don't know that like a movie release will perform $1 billion in the next year and a half, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
totally.
Even like 2 years.
Good point.
So it's one of those things where it's
maybe
like, just be realistic, guys. Maybe do the premium on HBO Max. Like, clearly other companies are doing it. You know what I mean? Have it available for renting, like through Vudu or something, and see how much that
brings. Do you think they're also keeping an eye on what they do with Black Widow over on Disney Plus?
I think at this point, it's less about thinking about competition and more about thinking of self-preservation. Because I do think it's them looking at theaters, and they're not balancing going up against other guys. I think they're balancing going up against the strategy of keeping theaters afloat so one day they can make $1 billion again. Because if they let theaters die, then they won't have that revenue source ever again, right? So there is this kind of like need to keep both sides happy. But with that, there also is a need to give people the content to keep making more content. So we're just hitting this weird point with a lot of the 2020 movies that have gotten pushed that we got to shit or get off the pot because they're just sitting there not making money, which is money that is necessary to fund the next
movie
round of movies. So we'll see. And we won't have to wait too long because December 25th is 6 weeks away.
I just never saw that happening. I just don't think it's going to be released on Christmas. But what if they
released
like the full cut in theaters and a shorter cut on digital?
I think that's such a weird way.
Why would that be a good solution?
I don't know. Just to like motivate people to still go to the theaters instead of just staying home. I don't know. But it's a weird one. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, that's a big problem, and I'm glad I'm not in charge of making that decision.
I feel like with the trend that we've got going on with COVID right now, a lot of cities are rolling things back. And I don't know, like, I know that in the Bay Area, very recently, theaters opened back up.
And then they closed.
And then, they closed this week again. So it's one of those things that it's like, it would be stupid to release it, right? In theaters right now. Like, there's no way it makes enough money to make up for how much it costs to make. But that being said, maybe for tax purposes, using a massive loss would be helpful. I don't know. See, like, that's where it's like,
I think that stuff's all true, and that they're definitely would have to take all that into consideration. But there is a thing of, if they, like they're saying here, if they released it on Christmas, got whatever money they could, especially from overseas that have laxer rules and stuff, when it comes to being able to go to theaters, make that theater money, but then also get HBO Max. Like, that's the only way it can release an HBO Max is if they put it out in theaters first. So
wait, but why?
Because of the deals, because of like how the all the licensing,
yeah, like
contracts,
like already drawn contracts between Warner Brothers and theater companies.
It's crazy they can't get out of that shit.
So that's the thing is, like, the exciting news to us is if it does end up hitting December 25th, we could probably expect to watch Wonder Woman in the first couple months of 2021. So that's something. Then more DC stuff here. We got some Justice League stories for you guys. Zack Snyder's Justice League. New surprises for Zack Snyder's Justice League are teased for the film's third anniversary, which is November 17th, so 4 days from now. Cinematographer Fabian Wagner took it to his official Instagram account to share a new photo of Snyder holding up a prop of a bomb. While there's nothing too really big to look at on itself on the image, it's the caption that's drawing attention, as it claims that there will be surprises that, quote, Zack is going to drop on November 17th, which is the anniversary date of Justice League. We'll see what that could look like. The most interesting thing, I don't know if you guys have seen this or heard about it, but remember the Justice League Snyder Cut trailer came out during fandom? It's gone.
Really?
Yeah, they took it down.
Line?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which is weird. And there's been speculation.
Did they realize it was in the wrong aspect ratio?
They're like, oh, shit, we uploaded the wrong one. it's bizarre. Weird. There's been no reason why. And, like, the theory is that it's some music licensing stuff. But regardless, it's gone. So the thoughts right now are that a new trailer is going to drop, or a reformatted trailer or something, on November 17th. And then other random stuff. Zack Snyder reveals that he already has ideas for Justice League 2. Quote, if you said to any of the actors in the movie, well, what happens in the movie, or what happens later, or whatever, for any movie, and they go, well, I got a script and it's cool and I kind of know this, and so Ray Porter and I were talking about this and what's cool, or what's the right response to some questions. What is being said here, guys? What the fuck is being said?
I don't
here?
Know, man.
Not it's right. A fair question. Back to the quote. It's a fair question to ask me, you know, like, what do I say to the world about, you know, what happens when Darkseid comes to Earth? Then what? You know, is that a thing? And I think, listen, the truth is that did I write and did I have to conceive a complete? Do I know what happens when Darkseid? Yes, I do know what happens. To say, to speculate about what that is and what that would be, exciting. I think that's a fine thing.
What the hell did he just say to us?
Has he ever read a comic book? Who is this man?
So Ray Porter is playing Darkseid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
No, I'm looking it up right now. Zack Snyder's Justice League TV miniseries, Darkseid, Ray Porter.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, who's Cyborg's actor? What's his name?
Not Ray Porter.
Also Ray?
Ray something else. That's what.
Are we thinking of two different Rays?
Ray Fisher.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
And hasn't there been some drama with him and Warner Brothers recently, too?
Yes. There's been a lot, right? Where he was unhappy with the cuts and was
with
like,
Joss.
I should have stood up to Josh Whedon more.
But anyways, Justice League 2. If Snyder cuts a success, then Justice League 2 might be a thing. We'll see.
Oh my God! Not. Please don't say this. Like, this means that Greg Miller is going to be campaigning harder than ever. Yeah, like this only
emboldens Greg even more, and we can't have that in this universe.
No one man should have all that power. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of HBO Max, we do have a couple little fun things, some reunion specials. Today, the trailer for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion dropped. It's coming out November 18th, and it looks like a lot of fun, guys. It's the remaining cast all on the set, chilling in the living room, just kind of reminiscing and talking, and like it's just a feel-good time. I highly recommend watching the trailer just to get the vibes, man. In 2 minutes, you get hit with all the emotions. Oh. There's the happiness, there's nostalgia, and then there's all the sad feels and stuff. So cool stuff. And then another reunion special, Friends. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that while plans are still being finalized, the goal is to film the reunion special in the first part of next year. The pandemic delayed that. It was pushed again from a planned August filming date. It kept going and going and going, but now we are looking at March. The show's six stars and HBO Max brass all want an in-person reunion on the show's former home, Stage 24, on the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank, so a virtual reunion isn't on the table. Lisa Kudrow told The Hollywood Reporter, "We haven't all been in the same room in front of people. I mean, we have privately once many years ago, but that's it. The whole point of this is that they were just hanging out as friends."
Oh, okay, and privately. I thought it was some weird private like thing they were doing in front of a crowd.
Oh, no.
Like a bunch of rich people hired them to reenact their favorite Friends episodes. Do it right!
They've been trying to work on this reunion for Friends for, like, it feels like years at this point. I'll believe it when I see it. I believe it when I see it.
Well, it hasn't been years. It's been since last year, and then the pandemic happened. So it got delayed from August.
Really? I feel like I've been hearing about this like since like 2017.
They were trying to hook people into HBO Max by
I think
promoting it really hard.
There's always been rumors, or not always, but like, yeah, since around that time, there's been rumors of like, we should bring him back. We should have him hang out.
Well, I mean, they announced rumors, it when they announced HBO Max.
Yeah, they got, well, it was just a, wasn't it just like a, maybe we'll
there
do
were
this.
There were like mumblings and stuff about before HBO, get HBO yeah. Max out of your head. Back in like 2017, like since 2017, there have been like murmurs and shit about a reunion kind of thing for Friends.
So we're finally going to get it in 2021. It seems like HBO Max is kind of just doubling down on this whole reunion thing. We'll see if it works for them.
Is anyone excited for it? Would you guys be excited? Like, I mean,
I'm more excited for the Fresh Prince reunion. It's one of the best sitcoms of all time right there.
That's
and I would have said I wasn't excited about the Fresh Prince one, but then I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh shit, this looks really good. So
that's like the first thing I watched when I got HBO Max.
Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince. Let's go.
Mortal Kombat delayed indefinitely. The upcoming Mortal Kombat movie reboot has been delayed indefinitely. According to its producer, it will not be released until theaters have reopened nationwide. It was originally scheduled to launch in March 2021. Mortal Kombat's producer Todd Garner answered a fan question on Twitter regarding the possibility of some new information about the reboot. And he said, we'd always planned for it and thought we'd do it in March. The pandemic had other plans. We won't have a release date for the movie until theaters reopen. Same for the trailer. Don't expect anything till we can show everything. So, cool. It's one of those things I didn't expect that movie to be that far along. So,
yeah, they finished filming.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm ready for a Mortal Kombat movie. You
I'm
know?
Excited.
Really?
I'm excited. No.
Shocking
I
to
think,
me.
I think the fighting will be fun.
In
who knows if there's a plot. I think
when
the fighting.
When this movie first started, like it's kind of like when the reboot talks first started and they put out that Mortal Kombat Legacy short on YouTube, that was incredible.
That was cool.
And so it's like, if this is even half that cool, we got something special. I know it's went through many iterations since then, but I don't know. Mortal Kombat's dope. You know what's not dope? Fantastic Beasts 3. And we have some weird updates for you. It's really weird updates.
Lord.
One update that's pretty cool and one update that's just weird. So shortly after being asked to resign from the upcoming Fantastic Beasts 3, Johnny Depp's replacement may already have been found. Mads Mikkelsen is allegedly in early talks to play Grindelwald in the upcoming sequel. According to a report by Deadline, Mikkelsen's apparently director David Yates' top choice to replace Johnny Depp, who was let go from the project recently due to ongoing abuse allegations.
See, Mads, I really like. I could dig that. I could dig that. A very serious, you know, he plays roles. He always plays like very serious, straightforward roles, and I feel like that's what I want from Grindelwald.
Yeah, I want a more calm, ominous delivery of Grindelwald.
Now, I feel like Johnny Depp did, for the most part, give that sort of performance. Like, it wasn't over the top.
But it was still kind of Johnny Deppified, I'll say. For sure.
Also, just the fact that it was him just kind of took me out of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think that's his biggest problem.
Like, kind of famous person turning into an even more famous person was just really off-putting in that first movie, I'll say.
Do you think that like his performance was worth like a lot of money? Do you guys think that maybe
pay him out for that one scene, right?
For whatever he shot already for Fantastic Beasts, he should get paid entirely for? Because although Depp only filmed one scene for the film so far, he will still retain his multi-million-dollar salary due to the type of contract he originally signed, which guarantees his pay even if his role was recast. According to the Hollywood Reporter,
that's a weird clause to put in there.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
This contract is called a pay or play deal. Depp will still make his full eight-figure salary.
Eight figure.
So not just multi-million. Like we're talking tens of millions.
Wow.
Salary on the movie, despite his single scene's worth of work. The Hollywood Reporter explains a pay or play contract requires that he be fully compensated whether or not the film is made and even if it's recast. As is common with stars of his level, there was no morality clause in his contract, even though it was amended for each new installment. Technically, Depp was not fired by Warner Brothers, but asked to resign. It is unclear what recourse it would have had if the star refused. Whoa.
Wow. That's
Hollywood's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
You think Mads looks at that? Like, I mean, great. Like, the Mads thing isn't for sure, right? It's a rumor right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, you think he looks at that and he's like, huh, they didn't offer me that.
Oh, yeah, there's no fucking way in hell Mads Mikkelsen's making $10 million plus.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not, but it's just one of those things that, like, when you know you're coming in to replace someone and the articles are like, he's getting more than eight figures or he's getting eight figures. You know what I mean?
To not do the thing you're going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
better. But he's still getting paid.
Damn.
That must hurt.
Oh, man. Insane. And then last two news stories. I'm just going to call this the Vin and Rock Family Matters situation. A Bloodshot sequel has been announced with Vin Diesel returning.
Oh, why?
did anyone see apparently the first one?
I saw.
No, I didn't.
I saw the first third of it, at which point I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep. And by that, I mean I fell asleep watching it.
I remember when that trailer came out, and I remember all of you being like, oh, man, this movie's going to be cool.
No, we said it was the trailer looked interesting, and somehow they spend the first like third explaining that same thing, where it's like, are you kidding? This could have been the first 2 minutes. It's like, all right, going back to sleep.
Did you see it, Chastity?
I did not see it. No, I don't think they gave it a favorable review on GameSpot, but no, I did not see that movie. I'm sorry.
And then Dwayne Johnson will produce a reboot of The Scorpion King.
Finally, he's going to do it right.
Reportedly will not return for the lead role. Deadline reports that Universal Pictures will likely get a new actor to play the role given Johnson's busy schedule. But Johnson's passionate enough about the project that he still has a chance to appear in the movie. Cool. The reboot will take place in modern times and will be written by Straight Outta Compton writer Jonathan Herman. Quote, The Scorpion King was my very first role ever on the silver screen, and I'm honored and excited to reimagine and deliver this cool mythology to a whole new generation, says The Rock.
The Scorpion King has always confused me, because I believe many of us saw, what, The Mummy Returns is where we first were introduced to the Scorpion King, which was a giant scorpion man in the like the vein of Senator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Scorpion King, the movie came out, and it was nothing like that. At no point did anyone turn into a scorpion. Rock. No. That was the second Mummy movie. The Scorpion King was just about a dude that like essentially was like freeing part of Egypt and becoming the king, and he was the Scorpion King. But it did. I don't believe it ended with him turning into a scorpion or like getting cursed.
I never saw any Mummy movies.
Oh, what? Oh, Tim. Really? They're very good. Well,
I haven't watched.
One and a half of them is very good. Two. But like not all of two.
I watched the first one and I was really little, but that's like the last time I can say I was like four.
Legitimately, it's a really good time. Don't watch three. I didn't watch three. The recasting of Rachel Wise was too much for me. I couldn't handle it.
All right. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. Let's talk about The Mandalorian, guys. Very excited about this one. Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 3, Chapter 11, The Heiress. Directed once again by Bryce Dallas Howard. She also directed The Sanctuary, which was Episode 4 of last season. One of Kevin's least favorite episodes.
They're in like the forest planet and those villagers were being hunted down.
Oh my god, the dog face people.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. The shortest episode of the season so far, coming in at 32 minutes, such is our code, everybody. Let's start with Chastity. What did you think?
All right. Direct sequel. All right. Story progression. Let's go. Tied to the Clone Wars and Rebels. I'm so excited. Great action. I had a really good time watching this. This was a lot of fun. Dug deep into the Mandalorian lore, which is what I love the most.
Barrett.
I tweeted out late last night when I finally watched it at like 2 in the morning. Just that that meme of I forget his name. But the chef who's like, finally some good fucking food, because that's what this episode was. I love that. Like, well, like we were saying last week, like my prediction of like this week's episode is going to be the one where we see Sasha Banks. I love that it ended up being like a direct sequel. We even got like a little bit of like tiny follow-ups of the frog couple. I don't want to like say like 2 months until we like really get into
it. They're banging it out. You know what I mean?
This is full spoilers, everybody.
Off screen.
Yeah.
I mean, but sure. But like, we know that like that egg got fertilized. I know that's not what Barrett was alluding to, but I wanted to say it.
But yeah, I love that we finally got some answers to the Mandalore like lore stuff, because I've been really confused this entire show of like, all right, at the end of Rebels, like they didn't seem this tribal, and they still seemed like yeah, they were like kind of separated, but it seemed like Bo-Katan was going to like bring them all together. Like, so what happened between the end of Rebels and this show where they all the Mandalorians seem separated and stuff? And of course, like when they give the answer of he was raised by fucking Death Watch.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck. But like, how did I not think about that before?
Didn't we kind of know that from when he was rescued and like the logos and stuff?
It was the season finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
flashback.
Yeah.
It was.
I thought it was a cool confirmation for them to actually use the name. And it's like, sorry, just to quickly chime in. Like, I really, really enjoy this episode. Last episode, I was like, man, I really hope it's a continuation and we're getting linear progression, because that makes me feel like we're building something, and that's exactly what they did. And like, yes, we like, I don't really care about the frog people, but it was cool to see one of the little
things.
Yeah, no, like, cool. Yeah,
they got
their little moment when they see each other at like the port, and they're like,
she's so happy and she's running towards
him. She was stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, this to me is a perfect episode of what I want most from this show, which is now that we understand exactly what the show is, which is a series of side quests where they're getting new missions every episode or every couple episodes to go in a different direction, whatever, meet random people and have that cast kind of grow. We're seeing that in fruition this season. We're now 3 episodes in, and I think the season has just been impeccably paced to like keep me interested, and they are dropping so much shit. I didn't expect necessarily to get this many big reveals and big character moments in episode 3 of this season. Like, Barrett, you're talking about expecting this episode to be the one with Sasha and stuff. Mm-hmm. What I love about this is I don't want to rewatch it now, and I don't want to like know too much, but I'm pretty sure we've seen every single thing so far that we saw in the trailer. So like, going forward, we don't know shit. We don't have stuff to kind of jump off, which is awesome. Because seeing Bo-Katan come with the homies, with Sasha Banks, I just love all of the action in this was like, I feel of a higher caliber than what we've seen. Yeah. And this episode delivered kind of the things I love most about Mandalorian, which is kind of the frog people story that was set up in the last one. They closed it out, but the frog people are homies. We know that. We know that at some point they might come back in an epic moment to help out Mandalorian, and I'd be all about it as like a fun nod, right? But in addition to that, what I liked about last episode was having the kind of rebellion, seeing where they're at, like seeing them in the X-Wings, and they're kind of space cops now. Mm-hmm. I love that we are seeing the other side of it, of what happened to the Empire. There's these factions of Imperial people, like that ship, seeing inside of the ship, all the stormtroopers and all that stuff.
There's
and
a lot of them.
Yeah, it's cool. And I love that Moff Gideon coming back, making his first appearance this season. Like, this was a main plot episode of this show. And it is building in a way where they're not holding shit back, and they're not treating the audience as stupid. They're talking about the Darksaber. They're getting into it. They're explaining what that thing was. And there's a story. We might not see Bo-Katan and them for the rest of the season, but we saw them this early. I am stoked. And we know where they are going, which is to fucking find the Jedi. And it's Ahsoka. What?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And with Ahsoka, like, you have to assume Sabine is... Like, I think we'll see Bo-Katan again. And, like, those other two Mandalorians. Like, I don't think they're established characters. My theory was that Sasha might have been playing live-action Sabine, but I think it was probably for the best that they gave Sasha that role that they gave her. And that's all I'll say about it. That's the most polite way I can say about it.
Hey, no, man, like, don't force someone...
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you, especially with the show. It's like, I'm all about the fun cameos. Do not make them overstay their welcome. And shout out to them giving her the moment where she kind of like German suplexes with a jetpack. And I'm like, cool, Sasha can leave now. Cool. Yeah. She did something dope.
I feel like, real quick, just to talk a little bit about her, her introduction where you see the, they've all got their helmets on, right? No, before, her in the background. I'm sorry, that wasn't her introduction. But like the first time we see her fight, it's very clear. It's like, oh, like this action's cool, and I feel like they utilized that somehow in a good way.
Yeah, I love when they all came in the first time. So
it was dope. Oh, and the music. Oh my god. Yes. I love the Into the Spider-Verse ass like semi like hip hop scratchy like music they got going on for this badass group, and seeing them fight with Mando. They've built up Mando as being this like really rad kind of guy over the last 10 episodes of the show.
He's got nothing on them, man. And it's like so they're cool. Organized. They're a group, man, and they know how to fight because they've been like Bo-Katan has been around for a fucking while, so she knows her shit. And like just God, it was so hype. And like just shout out I don't want Katie to get Sackhoff? Too lost in the
Katie Sackhoff.
But just like immediately when she shows up and you see the helmet, like I knew immediately because that helmet is iconic for her character. But when he was stuck down there and like I was fearful of everything going on. I was like, oh my god, like he's gonna die. Baby Yoda has been eaten. I have no idea what's happening. And when she shows her, like when her helmet pops up, I was like, holy fuck, we're doing it. Really quick. Because the next episode, we're going to try to find Ahsoka.
I don't think we'll
see if it's actually next episode. Yeah.
But it's cool that like they closed with that, and it's one of those things where it's like leaves you being like, oh, next.
They give you just enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which maybe they keep on that train like they did from last week's to this week's. Maybe they do it. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been looking for Mandalorian.
But really quick, that means that we're probably going to find Sabine as well, because at least the last time we saw both of those characters, they were going on a journey to find a certain character at the end of Rebels. Sorry, I don't want
to. Who is Sabine? I don't.
Sabine is a character from Star Wars Rebels. She was the wielder of the Darksaber before she gave it to Bo-Katan. And the Darksaber is kind of like this. I don't want to get too much into like the backstory for it, but like essentially, like whoever holds the Darksaber, it's a like this Mandalorian weapon, essentially. Like they're supposed to be like representative of like unifying the Mandalorians. Bo-Katan had it at the end of Rebels. Sometime between Rebels and this show, Moff Gideon took it from her and has split the kind of Mandalorian tribes where it's like impossible to rule Mandalore, which I think is very interesting.
It sounds also may have attacked Mandalore. Is that the name of the planet?
Mandalore.
Might be radioactive. Yeah,
and because we might be getting Sabine, like I won't be surprised if we get more Bo-Katan and maybe Sasha Banks. Who knows?
Who knows? Whatever. I'm fine with the amount that they were in. It's cool that they had a crew because like the action was dope in this episode. And I loved that not only have we built up the Mandalorian to be a dope ass dude and have his armor and shit, like they made him look like he didn't know shit, didn't know how to fight at all. But the end of the episode where he kind of is like, I'm the tank of this. And he goes down the hallway like using his Beskar armor and then throws the things. I was like, damn, he can work as a team with these guys that he just met. Like, They're building a show that we actually care about these damn characters, and this show has finally transcended that it's not the Baby Yoda show. And I think that that's a really key moment for it, that Baby Yoda is now just an element we love about this, and not the thing like, keeping us coming back.
He was like hardly in it, you know?
Yeah.
But you brought this up already, Barrett, like when he gets kicked into the water and then eaten and Mandalorian gets pushed into, that shit was like, oh my god, I'm feeling something from this.
Yeah, like, and like you can tell that safe, Mando even felt something too. Like when he pulls him out, and he's like, it sounded like he might have been crying a little bit. I don't know. Maybe he was just out of breath. But it was like a fucking big moment when Sasha Banks comes out with with Yodelini, and like hands Yodelina to Mando. And it was just like this moment of like, oh, like is he going to be okay once he finds the Jedi he's looking for to give Yodelini up? Like, that's...
They've been building
that relationship between them, and it's going to be... I think that's going to be a big moment, and whatever decision he makes will definitely, I think, be a big one for sure.
I wonder if we ever get... Like, what was his exact mission? Take
he's
Yodelini
quest to return
to his people, right?
Yodelini mm-hmm. to his species, yeah.
But it was his species, or did they say to his people? Because I think we're going to figure out that, like, oh, there are no more Yoda people, you know? And then it's
yeah,
he's going to be like,
I guess
oh,
his people.
You are, or like, we are your people. And then they, like, I think mm-hmm. this show ends with them staying together.
I mean, I almost guarantee that this ends with Baby Yoda being the Mandalorian.
I'm sorry.
The titular character.
No.
What?
I'm telling you, man. It's gonna
I'm gonna be really pessimistic
armor.
Here.
I'm picture Baby Yoda with yeah. Mandalorian armor.
And I think
he never
Yodelini,
takes off.
By the end of the show, Yodelini is dead. That's all I'm saying.
No, there's no way. Like, you're reading the show wrong.
This is like a theory because, again, we're like, what does the Empire want Yodelini for and all this shit? Like, I think he is attached to something with the Emperor trying to bring himself back to life with the Snoke stuff and stuff like that.
No,
yeah,
don't say
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Don't say it.
It's the fucking, dude, look at how Disney Star Wars has been structured for the last fucking 5 years. This is absolutely what they're trying to do. Or at least, like, maybe that's Baby Yoda's original, like, intention. That's what they were trying to use him for, and then they don't end up using it.
Oh,
but, like,
I hope not.
But
I think they
that's
would change
obviously
it just
like
based on how beloved Baby Yoda is now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if he'll actually die, but he's absolutely like when they're like doing experiments on him in like the first season, like they're absolutely like doing some like plan under the Emperor of like in case he dies, we need to do this, this, and this. This creature who has been shown to have regenerative powers and shit like that, like absolutely he is somehow tied to trying to bring the Emperor back.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm interested. I don't think that we ever like. I don't think things are planned out that well. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like they've proven that with the movies.
No, Disney not planning Star Wars well. I've never heard of that shit.
Yeah, what? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like I feel like they greenlit this, and they're like, oh, it's cool. Does it have to connect back to the other stuff? Not really. It'd be cool if it does. Do you guys think we'll ever see Yoda Force Ghost?
In this show.
I think there's a better chance we see Luke.
Really?
Yeah. Sebastian Stan is Luke, guys.
Oh, don't do that to me, Tim. Don't
let
him do that to me.
Sebastian
Stan. Kevin, look up young Mark Hamill and then put...
They do look alike.
It's weird how much they look alike.
Now, here's a question I have. This is the Tim Getty Star Wars nerd shit. If we got, I know, but it'd be like Return of the Jedi, like post Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi. It would work.
So when we see Ahsoka, whenever it is, when she's explaining the Force, when we get the scene where she's explaining the Force and Jedi to Mando, which is going to happen, do we hear the Force theme? Like, are they going to treat Ahsoka with, like, the reverence that they treat Yoda and Luke in the sequel trilogy? Because that'd be fucking cool.
Dave Filoni's in charge of the show, absolutely.
Let's
She's had those moments in Rebels. So, like, absolutely. Like,
Dave Filoni is not in charge of the show, right? It's still, what's his face?
Well, he's the executive producer.
Yeah,
he's still.
It's Favreau and
Filoni. They work
Filoni.
Together very tightly. Yeah.
And we know Dave Filoni is directing one episode of this season, and I guarantee you that will be the episode that she's in.
Mm, yep.
I don't know if we know what episode it is yet, but...
I'm gonna look.
No, don't. Leave it a mystery.
Okay, I won't.
Fuck mysteries.
I'll look, really, but I won't say anything.
Really quick, I just want to shout out the just like little moments when they're coming in really fast into the planet. I was scared for everything. I was scared for the eggs because the eggs couldn't, like, had something with the, I remember they were talking about last episode of try not to go too fast or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real quick, it's one of these things, this frog woman needs to figure out how to use it as a backpack. It's got the straps, literally just put it on. Stop leaving it places. You got a little monster that's eating them. Also, one... Egg
I was
hatched?
So afraid he was going to eat the baby.
Yeah, I know.
I know. And yeah, when Mando dropped
baby,
him off
so
to
afraid.
The frog people, I was like,
people,
I was like
dude, you know what he's doing to these eggs. This is a terrible idea. So, like, everybody last week who was like, Baby Yoda's a terrible child, blah, 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 blah. No, this is Mando's fault because he is, like, letting Yodelini get away with this kind of shit.
God damn it.
He is a bad dad. He tries,
but, like, one out of these hatch, that's not a good yield. You know what I mean? Like, they
all they needed, though.
I don't know.
They just wanted one, man. I looked up the directors, and it's interesting.
I just looked it up,
it tells
too.
A story. It tells a real clear story.
Ooh, what's up?
Now you got to tell us.
I'm telling you. So, the next episode, which is chapter 12, directed by Carl Weathers. So I have a feeling that'll be the episode that we see the return of Gina Carano and Carl Weathers' character, which I forget is his name.
Weren't they at the very beginning of the first
episode? Yeah.
The first at the season.
They were in the trailer.
Were they not in the beginning of the first season?
Yeah, they were. No. That shot of them in the trailer, I thought, was at like the very beginning of the first episode.
We haven't seen the shot of them where they're like in some kind of ship yet.
Mm. Okay.
I imagine that's next episode,
kind of ship,
because then episode 5 is directed by Dave Filoni.
Mm.
That could be it.
I think that's it. And then,
this
is what's most interesting, is episode 7 is directed once again by Rick Famuyiwa, who's done a couple episodes last season. Mm-hmm. He did some really dope plot-based episodes. That leaves episodes 6 and 8 that are both TBA.
That's
I'm liking this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
You think George Lucas could come back to direct?
No.
He sucked.
Anyways.
Wait, real quick. Did I lose it? Here is what I would really, really like. This next episode steps away from the Mando and just goes with Carl Weathers and we just get... Now we get
please
a little bit more story.
Please don't give me an entire episode of Gina Carano as a main character.
I mean, she
please
doesn't have to talk. Just have her fight. You know what I mean?
It's not just her acting. Her as a person, too, just annoys me.
Oh, okay. but, like, I don't know. I'd like that for them to use that as an excuse to kind of be like, hey, this is what Esposito. What's his name? Come on, you know him.
Oh, Giancarlo.
I'm not talking about Moff Gideon.
Moff Gideon. Give us more of Moff Gideon and see where they were at. Mm. What's going on that side? Because I would like to see more.
Oh, like
of
to kind
of
like go back to like the end of season one and see like what's happened to them since then. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That could work. Yeah, A plot, B plot with Moff Gideon and Grief and.
I think that'd be cool. That way they also...
I love that we're here talking about that as an option because like I just feel like that is where the season is right now, where that totally could happen. And we'd be like, all right, cool. This is a good episode. Oh, man.
That works.
There's some other quick moments. Who were the two Imperial officers when they were trying to take over the ship? There was the Imperial officer in the main cabin thing or whatever. The
one
where
they're
piloting.
The other two?
The two old white guys. The one who like killed the two pilots, and then there was the one in the cargo bay.
The one that killed the two pilots is Titus Welliver. He's known for his lead role in Amazon's Bosch, as well as recurring roles in Sons of Anarchy.
He's the man in black from Lost.
Yes, The Good Wife, Deadwood, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Gotcha.
And then the two dudes that are actually like the pilots, they are both from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Oh, I didn't recognize them. There's the other old white dude in the cargo bay that also looked familiar, but I couldn't quite pick it up. But I love that cargo bay moment where he's like, you locked him in where? The cargo controls, and then immediately they get sucked out. I was like, oh, this is so good. This episode really felt like some good Star Wars Rebels vibes for sure, and I fucking loved
for
it.
Sure.
Fun action too. Seeing the Mandalorians fight using like their jetpacks and stuff. Ooh, it was so cool.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
But real quick question: when Mando runs in there, you know, like with the bombs, why not just run in there guns blazing? Wouldn't the armor do the same job of protecting him, and he could just take? There was like four people he had to shoot.
Well, no, there's like a good like seven or eight of them when they're like
was
all.
It?
Oh yeah, it was like it was a good amount.
See, they were like behind a door, but there was at least four.
I got saw
the
four
shot of them. The
yeah. Heat. Yeah, there was a good chunk of them. But yeah, I think he was trying to make sure like the explosives didn't get shot because like his quickest way to get a deal with them was to blow them up. So
yeah,
yeah, I don't know.
One thing I also liked was that that repurposed AT-AT that they made into a crane.
Oh yes,
dude, and
that
it's funny.
Really cool.
I wanted to actually bring that up because like my whole entire life, every time we drive by Oakland, we see the giant cranes, and it's always like, oh, those are AT-ATs in my mind. And now to see them being actually used as cranes, I was like, wow, this is wild. I love it.
Didn't we see this before in Solo a little bit in the beginning?
Maybe, but that movie sucked. Nobody talked about it, you know?
I forgot.
Yeah.
This was just so blatant and in my face.
at least Solo is more fun than Rogue One, you know what I'm saying?
No one knows what you're saying.
Nonsense. We're going to leave this episode of Screencast. We'll be back next week.
Hold on. Before you end it there, Tim, you unfortunately cut out at the end of last episode, and I want to do a segment every week, the best baby Yoda moment. Episode one,
good.
We have Yoda on the speeder bike, just vibing. Mm. Episode two, we have Yoda eating the eggs, just like throughout the entire episode.
Delicious.
Episode three, I've got a couple of ones, and you guys can throw any out there that you might have picked up on. I have Yoda trying to eat the chowder, and like the little squid thing coming out. That was really Yoda being sad about leaving his little frog friend at the end when Mando picks him up.
He was definitely not sad about leaving him. He was sad about not being able to eat him.
But like Mando was like, I can't have any more pets, which I thought was funny. Like in Mando's mind, he's thinking like Yoda's like, I want to keep him as a friend, but he wants to eat him. And then the other one I have is the laugh at the very end when that like really creepy squid thing, like when the ship is finished and
almost kills him,
fucked up. Yeah, and it like is about to jump on Yodelini, and like Mando grabs it, and he has like this adorable little baby laugh at the end, and then he eats it like right after.
My favorite baby Yoda moment this episode was after he gets kicked into the death trap and gets saved. When he's getting pulled out of the thing and he's just kind of like, he just looks frazzled, you know, as he's giving to Mandalorian. That would have been, my moment.
Okay. I'm going to put that then. Cause that's a good one. All right. Well, that is this week's best baby Yoda moment.
There you go. All right. Love you guys. We are going to see you next week for a kind of funny screencast where we will continue reviewing The Mandalorian as the season continues. Hopefully it keeps up this quality. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about this thrilling episode. Chastity, where could people find you?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chastity_V. And find me on youtube.com/GameSpotUniverse where I'm breaking out all the Easter eggs every week. So 1 and 2 are up now. 3 will be up later today.
Hell yes, go do that. And until next time, adios.